Right now we've got Mentor Allergan, Sientra, which is in bankruptcy court right now.
I think the restriction in the U.S., of course, is that no human exosomes can really be used.
So that's a fabulous meeting and definitely worth going to. I'll be excited to return to it next year.
Allergan is coming out with new indications for filler to the temple.
The beauty scientists, Dr. Christy Hamilton and Dr. Roy Kim. Real beauty without the hype.
Welcome to the beauty scientists. I'm Dr. Christy Hamilton here with Dr. Roy Kim. We are plastic surgeons, and Dr. Kim happens also to be the social media director for Dallas Cosmetic, Dallas Rhinoplasty, which is our topic today. So nice to see you, Dr. Kim.
It's great seeing you. Glad you're looking great as always.
Thank you. The first filming post baby. So much to talk about. I did not get to go to Dallas Rhinoplasty, Dallas Cosmetic this year, which is one of my favorite meetings too, because there's always so much new material. So I'm really excited to hear about all that you learned. It was this past weekend.
Yes. So the conference is in Dallas, Texas. It lasts for about 3.5-4 days. And we talk about first cosmetic stuff. We have cadaver labs about that. And we talk about rhinoplasty and we have cadaver labs for that.
Perfect. So let's talk about the cosmetic medicine part first. So what was that day like? What was your overall takeaway?
Overall, I think that people are taking a more holistic approach. In other words, yeah, you need new skin. Yeah, you want better skin. Well, how do we do that? We're going to do everything possible to give you new skin, including pre-procedural skincare, post-procedural skincare, anything to help with healing. Yes, we're going to give you some type of procedure, including laser or RF microneedling or something of that nature, but we're going to take care of your overall appearance. And the same is actually true for Botox and fillers. They're trying to enhance it with skin boosters, which they talked a lot about. Allergan is coming out with new indications for filler to the temple and existing product, but new indications for Botox to the platysma muscle.
Okay, which is this muscle in the neck. Although I just did my postpartum glow up. So I Botox myself and I did my favorite resurfacing laser, the CO2 laser. So I talking about skin boosters. So I added exosome therapy for myself for recovery for this for the first time. Was there any mention of like regenerative medicine or anything buzzy going on there?
That was a hotter topic. I think the restriction in the U.S., of course, is that no human exosomes can really be used. So they talked about stuff that is non-human that already exists in the marketplace, but like nothing new about it, just the use of exosomes for what you've done to yourself. Like that'll help with healing after a procedure.
I think it was the most aggressive version of the laser I've ever done because I was taking this opportunity to do it and I healed faster than ever. So I thought that was interesting. It was also my newer laser. So two new variables to account for. So that's injectables. What's new? Any newer lasers or devices that you thought were interesting?
Nothing new because it's already been out. So in other words, Moxie, BBL, Halo, Cyton, those are some of the bigger companies that are out there with newer technology, but they've been out for about a year or so. I think that people really like it because they're faster, they're more efficient, or they deliver slightly better results. As you know, and I know, you know, wavelength is a wavelength is a wavelength. So something straightforward like hair removal, yes, it should work even if it's an old laser. The newer lasers are less painful or faster, which is why a newer model is better for a lot of cases, including facial resurfacing.
Okay. I agree with that. I know whenever people are like, what about this laser? I need to find out like what wavelength it is because these things are always being rebranded. What about in the world of breast surgery? So that remains, you know, breast augmentation, always one of the top five aesthetic surgeries done every year. Anything new and notable there? I know you've got something.
The biggest thing is what we've talked about in the past, Motiva breast implants. So Motiva is a company based in Costa Rica. They have their breast implants available in Europe and South America and Asia, but not in the US yet. The studies are done. They're waiting for the FDA approval. And that should be sometime this year. And nobody really knows the exact date. The Motiva breast implants, in case of those of you who don't know, there are a couple advantages, or so they say. I am eager to try them. So essentially, the biggest thing is they don't have much tissue reaction. As you know, we're relying on tissue reaction to create a capsule or a thin capsule around the implant to hold it in place. You still want it to move a little, but you also don't want it to wander all over the place. Motiva implants don't form as much capsule. So you have to be more precise with the implant pocket, and you have to make sure that that implant pocket is fully shut down, like surgically with sutures, when you're closing up the patient. So that is one big thing. And I think another big thing for consumers, and we'll see if they can crack the US market. Nobody, I don't know about you, but nobody really asked me for a specific brand name of implant, and they don't do it in Europe. Nobody comes to my office and says, I want an Allergan implant. I want a Mentor implant.
Yeah.
Well, outside, they have cracked the B2C marketing. Patients around the world request Motiva implants from their plastic surgeon.
That's interesting. You're right, because we don't have that here. Patients very much, they want to know what do I think is the best breast implant for them. And usually for me, it comes down to like the feel that they're going for. And oftentimes just maybe one company has a size or a dimension that's going to fit that patient better than a competing company. But yeah, we don't have patients asking specifically for implants. So that'll be interesting, because right now we've got Mentor, Allergan, Sientra, which is in bankruptcy court right now, got the file or the letter on that. So that'll add some more competition to the mix. And I always think competition's good.
Yes, I think so.
All right. And then moving on from breast to body, there's always great attendance in terms of discussion of like body work and body contouring. What did you learn?
The biggest thing was something that Dr. Alfredo Hoyos calls rib revolution, and he actually debuted his textbook there. So a Russian plastic surgeon a couple years ago figured out a way to do a gentle or more gentle rib fracture. It's called a green stick fracture, posteriorly through the back. A tiny incision, green stick fracture makes your waist look thinner. So Dr. Hoyos saw this, and he applied it to his patients, as well as we all know that Dr. Hoyos is the person who really reinvented liposuction, is a fantastic advocate of liposculpture. So he's now done with his group several hundred patients in the past year of making the waistline substantially thinner. And the results are very good to possibly a little niche, like in my opinion, possibly too extreme, although the patient's happy about it. And it's a safe procedure, doesn't seem to have major complications, is controllable, has a tiny incision in the back. Like we're talking like 2 centimeters, like about that big. So it's rarely hard to see. And it simply works.
You think you're going to incorporate it in San Francisco?
I don't, to be honest, I don't know how much demand there is even in the world. So there's definitely going to be demand. I don't know if you want your waist to always look like you have a slight corset on all the time. So I do think for patients who are wider, then it works, because some of the results are, hey, this is a good result, but I'm shocked that this person looked like this. And then after, you know, rib cage infracture and liposuction, they look like normal or they look great. Those who I think are the best patients, in my opinion.
Okay.
So.
So more extreme contouring. So I agree that I think in my practice too, where we're generally doing more natural looking results, that may not be for my patient population either, but that's so cool. And Dr. Hoyos, he's a great friend of both of ours, and he's always got something new in his toolbox every year. So that's exciting.
Yeah. So it's very impressive.
Moving on to face and nose. What was the latest there?
I think the biggest thing in face is actually not much. The biggest thing in nose is what they call preservation technique. So you and I both know that there's a way to do rhinoplasty where you have more limited incision or less dissection. Less dissection, less swelling, less potential bruising. The problem is it's sort of different from the way we were taught. And sometimes it's difficult to visualize exactly what you're seeing on both sides of the nose, the right and left. So there's definitely more of a compromise where, hey, if we can not do as much dissection or not do as much cutting or not do as much surgery, but still get the end result, let's try that. And people who are used to the traditional way of doing it, the open approach, the structural approach, they're now maybe dissecting a little less if they don't have to. And the people who really, really, really wanted the preservation approach, like limited incisions. They're starting to realize that certain noses, you just need to open up both sides and look at both sides and make sure the right and left side is symmetric to get the best result before closing it up.
So I remember they said, so for the preservation technique, which is they're trying to just keep as much of the inherent anatomy of the nose as possible. At least last year, I remember they said the ideal candidates were like actually like a crooked nose and one that had like a certain kind of hump. Was that still the opinion of the experts this year?
Yes, for the most part, like a slight hump, but not a huge one, and not a lot of tip work, like, you know, a small to moderate amount of tip work. If you need a ton of tip work, I mean, the feeling would be that the average plastic surgeon still has to open it up and make sure both sides are symmetric. And that's hard to do with preservation techniques.
Yeah. And then by definition, you're not preserving some of it because you're going to make it smaller.
That's right.
More refined. You don't want to keep it the same.
That's okay. Right.
So always one of our favorite meetings. I love just, it's a small group of experts from around the world. It's great because you really get to interact with everybody. Why have you gotten so involved with it? And why do you think it's important to go?
I think you and I both love it because it's a smaller meeting. So if you have a question, it's easier to ask a panel and there are only a couple hundred, like 400 or 500 people in the audience. It's harder at a plastic surgery meeting where there are 2,000 or 3,000 people in the audience. You may not actually be able to ask the question. There may not be enough time. I think the other thing is that this meeting is very good because it's smaller. They show real results, and more specifically, some of the results, some of the topics that they talk about are not recorded. The patients have stated, look, you can use this for an educational conference. Their eyes are still blurred out. Good luck trying to figure out who it is, but they actually do not record it at all. So
yeah,
be able to see like a nose result and a complicated maneuver, you're only going to see that at Dallas Rhino, Dallas Cosmetic. You're not going to see that at our national meetings, and you're not going to see it online or on social media. So I think that's another thing that surgeons don't really realize, or even patients don't realize. So, you know,
I love that it's such a small group and you're in close quarters the whole extended weekend. And so you keep on running into Dr. Hoyos, you keep on running into you, Dr. Kim. And so you have like this opportunity to actually get to know people, build relationships, like ask, you know, then you can feel comfortable like asking like experts like around the world, different ways that they're doing, you know, how they're doing it in Brazil versus Europe. And really get to know people. And I think that's really, really special.
I totally agree. Cause you know, they feel more comfortable. They'll give you a real answer and you can actually ask them a real question and get the result.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, Dr. Rorick, our wonderful director of that and the founder of Dallas Rhinoplasty in its current iteration, at least. So that's a fabulous meeting and definitely worth going to. I'll be excited to return to it next year.
Yes, so. We all missed you, Christy. And so we wanted you to show up and people asked where you were. And I said, well, you know, if you follow her online, she has this lame excuse about being pregnant and delivery or something like that.
Yes. Yes. Caroline Rose made her debut. So next year, but another fabulous episode. Thank you for informing me about the latest. I got a little mini recap, even though I couldn't be there. And as always, ask any questions below, comment, we will respond, and stay beautiful.
Stay beautiful.
Thank you for joining us on The Beauty Scientist. Be sure to visit thebeautyscientist.com and learn more about modern beauty and connect with Dr. Hamilton and Dr. Kim.